Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight I want to talk about a spiritual principle and the difference, the way I'm going to define a spiritual principle a little bit differently than speaking straight out of a passage and teaching it word for word is a principle that is clearly throughout the Word, though you may not find a Bible verse that says it so super clear. And principles versus hard, fast rules, principles are good ways to just order your life. They're good ways to live by. They're good ideas. And some of those principles are laid out pretty easily, like, do unto others as you've had them do unto you. Man, that's a good way to live. Don't hit people in the face with your fist because you don't want to get people turning around and hitting you in the face with their fist. I mean, that's a good way to live. And given it will be given to you. Man, there's another one that's just a good life principle to live by that would be a way to live our lives that we could just expect that even if we don't see it doing an immediate return, man, that's just a good way to sow ourselves, to love well. There's just a lot of just like principles of life. And so tonight, as we talk about setting our roots down deep, I just want to, in this, say that this is not a hard, fast rule. This is not a rule of every season of life, every situation, every person, all the time. But I would say that it's a general policy that helps govern, not just the kingdom of God, but governs life. And with that, we want to be those that hear the Lord, that find out His will, that follow Him, and that feel His instructions. But I want to say that as with all spiritual principles, there's a time and a place for when the Lord might be doing something else, other than kind of how He just normally allows things to operate. But most of the time, gravity works. And sometimes the Lord has somebody fly, like Jesus, took off one day. But most of the time, gravity works. And it's a good idea to know that gravity is real because it helps you figure out how to order your life based off of things like gravity. And in that kind of concept tonight, I want to talk about setting our roots down deep. And so I'm going to pray and ask the Lord just to speak to us and lead us tonight. Father, I pray that, Lord, You would speak, God, this message that's just been on my heart, God, for a few months. Lord, I just pray that tonight, God, that You would allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to each heart in the room right where You have them. Right where, God, You want to speak, what words You want communicated tonight. Holy Spirit, You're going to need to minister this word at a far deeper level than anything I'm going to present tonight. And so I pray that You would speak, that You would equip, that You would empower, and that, Lord, that You'd help each one in this room to know how to apply this principle in life and what it looks like in this season and the seasons to come. In Jesus' name, amen. There is wisdom in planting in a place and setting your roots down deep in that place. And not just a ministry, but work, a city. I mean, there's spiritual principles connected to these things. I want to cover some of them here in this session. And there's wisdom in setting the roots down deep as opposed to moving around from place to place in a frequent basis. Now, I've known people over the years, and they've been too afraid to let people get close to them. And so they constantly move from one ministry to another. Known those that in their place of work, they're working someplace and it's not long before they get tired of that job and they move on to something else. Known those that just want to see the world. And so they'll stay in one place for a little while and then they'll move on to another place, move on to another place. And if the Lord is telling you to do those things, then that's a good idea. If He's not, it's a bad idea. And there's a lot of reasons why, and I want to cover some of them here in this time that we have. One of the things about planting in a place is that the Lord always, He's got the full right to be able to move us on, to do whatever He wants to do with us, to take us wherever He wants to take us. I've just seen so many over the years that have allowed themselves to become victims of circumstances and victims of their own emotions. And when their emotions are raging against them, well, I don't like this job anymore, they quit. When their emotions are raging, well, I don't like these people anymore, I'm going to leave. When the circumstances, get tough, a building campaign at a church. I've just even seen people leave churches because they were doing a building campaign. And, so the circumstances change at the church. And now all of a sudden the church has got to drive a initiative because they're building some big building or something. And everybody's got to, kind of have that direction. And because their circumstances shifted, people just moved on and left that ministry or that place. I've just seen too many people for the years that I've been doing ministry, since 99, just leave places, leave cities, leave jobs, leave ministries, leave. And if you asked them why, their answer wouldn't be because the Lord led me to. Many of them, the answer is because, and when you get down to it, they were a victim of their own emotions, or they were a victim of a circumstance that shifted that they didn't like. Their boss started becoming mean. Well, mean people are everywhere. I mean, don't quit a job because your boss is mean. I mean, there's all kinds of situations all throughout the last, 15 years of ministry that I've watched and seen. And I've also then watched those that have done the opposite, and that they've stuck through those difficulties waiting on the Lord to hear His leadership and direction and guidance. And in the meantime, they set their roots down deep. So this teaching tonight, some of you, it's probably a word for you in this season. I would just imagine, because there's a bunch of people in the room. Some of you, this isn't a word for this season. It's a word for the next season or for 10 years from now. But this is a spiritual principle that is going to be valuable to you for the rest of your life if you'll take into consideration the things that I'm going to present tonight. So a few little takeaways, hopefully. One, I want to cast vision for the wisdom of setting your roots down deep. Second, I want to identify some of the benefits of being rooted in a specific place with specific people. And then lastly, I want to call us to wait on the Lord, to let Him speak before we would move on from any of the big decisions in life. With that, jumping in here, I want to just present a few concepts from the Word that will hopefully help us cast a little bit of vision for why this idea makes sense. First, in Galatians 6:2, and this is not an isolated passage, you guys know it, the concept well, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So here's Paul writing to the church in Galatia, and really the churches, because it was a letter that made its rounds, and he's saying to the people in Galatia, he's saying, carry each other's burdens. Okay, well, how does that have anything to do with setting your roots down deep? Well, how long does it take for you to know somebody well enough for you to even know what their burdens are? It takes a little bit of time. And then how long does it take to build a trusted relationship to be able to actually carry those burdens? Carrying burdens is different than knowing surface level issues in somebody's life. Carrying somebody's burdens means you are intimately involved in their life. You know them, they know you, and they know you well enough to be able to trust you with their deep, dark hurts. You know them well enough and love them well enough to actually take those burdens as your own. That doesn't develop in 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks. It takes time to develop the kinds of relationships where you could even enter into a real life exchange of taking someone else's burdens as your own and helping to bear those. And so in the context of community, there's many passages in the New Testament that talk about this same idea of bearing one another's burdens. But I would just challenge us to say that for the example of somebody who, in the ministry example or in a church example, for those that have been going from church to church to church for the past 10 years, because I'm even thinking of people that I've known, they don't have people in any of those places that would share their burdens and whose burdens they could share, because they didn't ever plant themselves and build the deep relationships necessary to be able to even fulfill all the scriptures that talk about this concept and all the relational connections. It takes time to build those sort of relationships and to harvest those sort of intimacy and trust. It just takes time to be able to do it. Next one. Looking at, I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 3, 3 through 4. And this passage, it's talking about winning favor and a good name in the sight of men, sight of God as well. Let's just read it here. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and a man. We'll just touch on a couple of points about this. So in this passage, we've got this concept of love and faithfulness. But it's not just walk in love and faithfulness today. It's live a life of love and faithfulness and let these things never leave you. So the promise that's tied to it right after the period when it says, and then you will have this happen, it's tied to the endurance of love and faithfulness, not love and faithfulness in an afternoon. So love and faithfulness, let them never leave you. Let you be a person who walks in love and faithfulness and that you carry that all the days of your life, bind that around your neck, write that on the tablet of your heart, and then there's an overflow, and that overflow is you'll win favor and you'll win a good name in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Now, God's a really good accountant. People aren't. And the truth of the matter is, it takes longer to win favor with human beings than it does with God. With God, He looks at the movements of your heart. You could win favor with God and have never opened your mouth once. You could just be one that just is, cultivating such an inner life. But with man, in order to win favor with man, in order to win a good name, the concept of a good name, the idea of that in total is that there are lots of people who not only know your name, but know enough about you to be able to say, yeah, that's a good guy, that's a good gal. They walk in righteousness, they walk in love and faithfulness. How would they ever know that you walk in love and faithfulness if you'd only been there for a short period of time? They wouldn't. No one would know that. It takes time to cultivate it. In order to be able to cultivate a good name in a place, a city, a community, there has to be some tenure. There's got to be some stationary, the planting of the roots and the roots going down deep in a specific location in order to be able to win favor and in order to be able to have a good name. And so another point there of this concept being presented in the scripture. And then lastly, looking at 1 Timothy 3:1-7, and I just gave you a very small piece of this. It's a passage about elders, but as we did a whole series on leadership, these principles are applicable to leaders from the smallest of small group leaders all the way up to the megachurch pastor. In every area of leadership, these principles are helpful. The passage that's describing the qualifications for an overseer, or many of your translations might say an elder, it's really talking about leadership qualifications. And we did a whole series talking about, hey, if they're, entry level, the expectation level is a lot lower than if, they're kind of given more authority and given a higher position in helping to manage the affairs of the church. But the principles are the same. And with that, I'll just say this, that both the Old and the New Testament admonishes the concept of leadership. And in fact, in many, many ways, both the Old and the New Testament call us into leadership. We're those that love God. We're those that carry the truth. The Lord wants the church, the people of God, in places of leadership all over. In secular, in government, in our workplaces, in church environments, in our households, in our neighborhoods. The Lord wants the church taking positions of leadership. And some of those are positions that, like, you actually get a title. And some of those, the Holy Spirit knows your title and no person on earth does, and it doesn't matter. The point is, they're positions of leadership. And the scriptures over and over admonish the believers to move as the Lord's timing and in the seasons of the Lord to move into positions of leadership so we can make impact for the kingdom of God. At the family level, all the way up to owning a big corporation. I mean, man, having godly leaders at the top of the Fortune 500 companies would change America. Having godly leaders, in all the neighborhood watch programs in America would change America. Having godly leaders in the government, godly leaders change things. So we're admonished to, as we have opportunity, as the Lord would lead, to take different leadership positions. Why do I bring that up? Because one of the qualifications, again for elder, but I'm applying it broader to those that are in places of leadership, one of the qualifications is that they would have a good reputation with outsiders. So here it is. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Here's Paul saying, you think being a leader, an elder, you think moving up in positions of leadership, you want to do that? That's noble. That's good. That's godly. That's a good desire in your heart. But if you're going to do that, there's some qualifications. And one of them is they must have a good reputation with outsiders. Well, how in the world do you get a good reputation with outsiders in a short period of time? You don't. In fact, you may not even get it in a long period of time. It takes a long time to get a good reputation, like a good name. It takes time to establish these things. Now, the reason I'm giving you all these verses is I want to paint the picture. While there may not be a Bible verse that says specifically, you know, set your roots down deep in this sense, the principle is very real. And that is that you're able to get more done in a place when you've been able to establish a reputation, love and faithfulness over a period of tenure, and really be able to build a life in a specific geographic location. So with that, now I want to touch on some of the ways that this looks. Now, I really like this passage. I love Psalm 1, and I've been a fan of Psalm 1, should be 1 through 3, that was my typo, for a long, long time, and I recognize that this passage primarily has to do with the life of living righteous, of being one that lives righteous. But it gives us a really good word picture that I want to focus on. It ties really into what we're talking about. And before we read it, just thinking about this tree that we're going to see here in a second. The concept of a tree, you want those roots to go down as deep as possible, because otherwise a good storm can blow the tree over. And we'll touch on some of how that relates. A tree with deep roots firmly planted, you can have whatever storm you want come against that thing, and those roots are so deep, there's no wind that's just going to blow the thing over, because it's got roots deep. Now, if that same tree, let's say it's massive, let's say it's an old tree, it's so old, it's so massive, and it's awesome, but the roots aren't deep, a good wind can blow that thing over and wind up in a real tough spot for that tree. A person who isn't planning on staying at a certain place for very long doesn't invest much effort there. And that's just, it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you go on vacation, you know, you're planning on being that place for a weekend. You're not trying to figure out how to get a job. You're not trying to figure out, you know, like where all the grocery stores and where the mall is and everything. You're going to be there for a weekend. I mean, you're not investing that much of your energy into it. You're not trying to figure out the fastest roads, you know, because you're just not going to be there that long. But there's a strong tendency in our hearts not to make commitments so that we can easily walk away from something. Whether that's a job, whether that's a position in life, whether it's a spot in ministry, there's a tendency in the human heart, and it is a raging tendency in the church in America and really in our generation. There is a tendency to not make commitments so that we can back out easy. We're just always trying to like keep our foot like halfway in so that we've always got an easy out. You know, it's always like we're waiting for the Lord to like move us on, like waiting. Oh, Lord, I'm ready to move out of this job, so I'm only going to put my foot half in. I'm not going to give all my heart, all my energy at this place of employment. I'm only going to kind of half be half-hearted about it. That way, when you call me out, I don't have a whole lot of ties here. And I don't think it's wisdom. Unless the Lord's speaking specifically, and again, that's always the trump card on this one. If the Lord is giving you clear instruction, follow the Lord. But when He's not, more than likely, you're going to be at that place for a while, whatever that place is. And that's part of His purpose in order for you to be like one of these trees. So just reading the passage, that the first part of it for sure will just edify us to walk in righteousness. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Now this one, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither, and whatever he does prospers. I've always loved this picture of this tree that's setting its roots down deep near a source of water so that it's constantly got nourishment. And obviously that's, part of the message today of setting our roots down deep in the Lord. I'm not focusing really on one aspect of setting our roots down deep. I'm talking about it as a spiritual principle for every area of our life. We don't want to have a shallow relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's far better for us to set our roots down deep in just a season with the Lord and just say, Lord, I want to know your word. I want to know your word, and to go deep in that instead of, let me give you the opposite as it could apply, especially when I was doing youth ministry. I would see this all the time, is you'd see people and it's like for a week they want to try reading the Bible. And then for another week, they want to try really pressing in worship. And then for a summer, they really want to try to do like, you know, small group community life. And then the next fall, man, they really want to try fasting for a few weeks. And then they want to, it's like always moving around, moving. It's like set your roots down into one of those things and get some depth on you. Understand what in the world's going on there. The measure of our walk with Christ is not how wide it is. It's how deep it is to get some depth of the word, depth of revelation, depth of who he is. And so even as you're trying to figure out what you want to study, what you want to give yourself some attention to, I would encourage you, don't skip around all over the place. Ask the Lord for some direction. Find a spot and set some roots down there and get some depth. You know, there's so much revelation in the word that is not available at surface reading. It's just not. So if all you ever do is surface reading, there's so much depth of revelation that you'll never get. Because the depth comes by camping out in that passage or that book or that concept in the Word. I love studying subjects in the Bible. I just love, that's just something I like to do. And man, when you just first read it, I've had that happen so many times. I'll just first read over something, And I kind of like halfway don't even get what I'm reading. And I'll read it a second time, read it a third time. But you camp out there for a few days, a week, maybe a little longer. You start to get some revelation in that passage. You start to get some clarity from the Lord. And there's just a measure of revelation that is not readily available at the surface level. So I would encourage you guys, even using this principle in your Bible study times, is finding something that your heart can connect to and camping out there maybe for a year or two or three. I mean, going deep and allowing your heart to just become alive and awakened in that place. And so, those that live according to the lifestyle of righteousness, meditating on the Lord's word day and night, these are like a tree that are planted by streams of water. I love that picture. Because the trees, now let's go outside of this verse and let's just talk about trees, because the picture is pointing to trees. So let's just talk about trees that are in a good spot. They're in a good soil. They've set those roots down deep. Those trees do better than the brand new sapling tree that just got planted, and you don't even know if it's going to make it or not. And every time we uproot ourselves and plant ourselves in a new job, a new ministry, a new city, a new whatever, you're that sapling tree. You're going to make it because you love Jesus, but oh man, it's tricky business for the sapling tree versus the tree that is rooted and established, that's got those roots deep down in there, because it says of them, they produce fruit every season. They're producing fruit. Each year, when the harvest time is coming, they've got fruit on the tree because they're established, because the roots are deep. This spiritual principle works in every sphere of your life. And I want to touch on some of them. One of the, couple of the little lessons here before we jump into the areas, one of the little lessons is just being faithful where he puts you. If we're asking the question, what does it look like to set our roots down deep? Like, okay, Brad, you've now used that term 50 times. What in the world does it mean? To set our roots down deep, being faithful wherever he puts you. Some great examples. Joseph is in jail. Jail. And he put his roots down deep. In jail. He served the heck out of jail. Like he, everybody around him, those that were in leadership over him, he was serving them. He just set his roots. He's like, well, I'm in jail. Do you think he wanted to be in jail? He was probably praying every day of his life, oh God, get me out of jail, God, get me out of jail. God. But while he was in jail, he was there. So he decided to be here now. where he was in jail. He set his roots down deep. He started serving those around him. He started getting to know the guys in his jail cell. He started serving people. Where he was, he set his roots down deep. Next, Paul's admonition to the slaves in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 5 through 7. Look at this. This is crazy. This is Paul telling slaves to set their roots down deep. Well, wait, I'm a slave. Last thing I want to be is a slave. Nah, as long as you're going to be a slave, as long as that's where you're at, set your roots down deep. It'll make things better for you. He says, as slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them, not only when their favor is to win their favor or when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, do the will of God from your heart and serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Specifically, as though you were not serving your slave master. Now, what does this mean? This means in that place, serving wholeheartedly, being faithful where he puts you. Again, a tendency, if we're always looking for our way out in our job or you know, in a city. I've known people before that they just can't wait to get out of Dallas. I just can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. Well, listen, until God tells you to leave, set your roots down here. The tree that's got roots deep in a place is going to do a whole lot better. And if the Lord wants to uproot you, he can uproot you really easy and he can make the whole thing work. But there's this tendency that if we think we're going to be moving on away from that, you know, that city, away from that neighborhood, away from that this, away from that, we have this tendency to uproot ourselves and to not set our roots down deep. We don't want to serve wholeheartedly. We don't want to build the attachments. We don't want to make the connections. We don't want to get moved up in that place. We don't want to have the deep roots connected to that place because we don't want to be at that place. We want to get out. Whether, again, job, ministry, city, wherever, whatever. And this is just a tendency. And Paul tells the slave, he says, serve in that place wholeheartedly. Serve that house. Serve your fellow slaves, serve your slave master, serve the purposes that you've been appointed to, the things that you've been assigned to do. Give yourself faithfully in the place that you've been planted. Daniel in Babylon, another great example. He's in Babylon. No one wanted to be in Babylon. That was where they got taken to exile. And while he was there, he served wholeheartedly. He set his roots down deep. He said, well, I don't know how long it's going to be that we're here. So as long as I'm here, I'm going to make here home. I'm going to get to know these guys. I'm going to work my tail off. I'm going to give myself fully. I'm going for it. I'll just tell you this. We were created to live wholeheartedly. And when we're not living wholeheartedly, there's things in our heart that don't feel right. I mean, there's this thing, because we were created to live wholeheartedly. I mean, we were created to give ourselves. And so when we're living kind of complacently, maybe you're spending lots of time in the Bible. Love it. So your spiritual life's alive. But at work, you're living half-heartedly. Work just doesn't feel right. It's something about it that giving only part of yourself, like, oh, I don't really want to be here. I don't really like this. I don't really want to. There's something about it that just causes an angst in the heart. And you just don't feel right. And it only continues to fuel the disdain for that thing. Because you're not giving yourself to it. Paul told the slaves, I understand you don't like your job. Give yourself wholeheartedly to it. Really? Yeah, it will go better for you. But doesn't that make sense? Let's say the slave driver, he's a mean dude. He's got 10 slaves. And one of those slaves works his tail off for that guy every day. Who's the slave driver going to beat? That guy or the other 9? The other 9 are getting whipped. That dude's actually going to receive less bruises in life because he did what the Bible said. Worked wholeheartedly. Not only that, it's probably only a matter of time before that slave driver. We're talking about slavery here. I mean, how much more work? How much more whatever else? Church environment. How much more? In the slavery environment, that slave, he's going to get promoted because it's only going to be a matter of time before the slave driver goes, you outwork everybody. You're like a person of character. Maybe they're a God hater. They don't fear God at all, but they still appreciate hard work and good character and trustworthiness. And so they look at that guy and they go, I need to promote you. I need to like give you more responsibility because I am wasting you. You have so much more to give. I want to make your life better so you can make my life better. That guy gets promoted. The slave gets promoted. I mean, this is such a simple principle about giving ourselves, not only in our time with the Lord, but giving ourselves wherever the Lord has us, serving those places. Working hard, engage your environment. So if it's this church, if it's your work, if it's your school campus, if it's your neighborhood, whatever it is, wherever the Lord has got you, whatever He's doing, engage your environment. Work hard in it. Seek to improve things around you. Seek to make it better. Seek to try to make that situation, that thing, that group, that company, that department that you work at work, seek to make it better. And serve wholeheartedly wherever you are. Again, there's just something about our hearts. We do so much better when we're giving ourselves. And we do so much less when we're reserved and we're not giving ourselves, because we were designed to live wholeheartedly. And again, the passage to the slaves, the Apostle Paul, he's saying, serve wholeheartedly in slave land. How much more at your job? How much more in a place of ministry? How much more in a city that the Lord has got you in, and the region that He's got you connected to? And if we'll do that, that's how we win a good name. That's how we win favor. That's how we win the ability to have increased measures of opportunities. Along these same lines, cultivate deep relationships. Develop lifelong friendships. Wherever you're at, just pretend you're going to be there forever. Wherever you're at, start building deep friendships. You know, I've had such an incredible just joyride in the different places that the Lord's had me over the years, and the deep friendships that I was able to build. That I could call them up and hang out and have such deep relationships because I got a hold of this one. The Lord just spoke to me early about the importance of living wholeheartedly. And as a result, even in relationships, I go into a place I can remember my freshman year at UNT. And I was only there freshman year, so that's all there was to say. That freshman year at UNT, I got into a Bible study, and it didn't make any sense at all for me to be in that thing. Because it was in Denton, I was living in Louisville. Further out than that, it'd take me, you know, about an hour or 50 minutes to get to where this Bible study was. But I'd go out there every week because I was a part of a ministry, and they said, "Hey, we want everybody in a home group." So I said, "Okay, I'll get in a home group." And I got in this home group, and these guys, I couldn't have been more different from these guys. I mean, we were like night and day different personalities, and I'm goofy, but they were double goofy, and I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And yet, I just said, "You know what? I'm here. They're here. We love Jesus. I'm going to build relationships." I fell in such love with these guys. Even years later, I'd meet them across the Metroplex and go out to eat and just have these deep relationships. It's just so much better way to live than had I taken the opposite approach. Well, it's an hour away. You know, I'll go to this group because they told me I have to, but I'm not going to really like build any relationships. You know what that does? That picture is me walking into the room and I'm looking at the clock for the hour to run out. And as soon as the hour, gone. That's a boring way to live. It's, you know, building relationships, that's, of course you're going to hate it there. And you'll always hate it there. Because you don't want to be there and you're not investing in those relationships. We need to learn to be vulnerable with each other. And I'll tell you what, the sooner that you learn how to be vulnerable with a person, the sooner you'll be able to build deeper relationship with that person. So there is a way to expedite the process a little bit, but it does require us being vulnerable. And sometimes when you're vulnerable, they will eat you up and you don't know which it'll be. Will they be a comfort and a confidant and one that supports you and strengthens you? Or will they be one that eats you up? You don't know until you start to give a little bit. And be wise. Don't tell them your deepest, darkest secrets on day one. Tell them a level one dark secret. See how they do with that one. And then if they burn you, at least it wasn't at level 10, which gets you in trouble. sharing life with those around you. You know, again, my thought process of why I love being a part of this church and this community is we share our lives together. It's not just that we go to church together. The concept of go to church, that's not in the Bible. I mean, that's totally unbiblical. I mean, that's just the weirdest idea. Go to church. You can't go to it. We are it. If we go to you, it's like I give you a piggyback ride, I guess. I go to church. I go to you. I mean, is that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. You can't go to it. We do life together. We are the church. And so the idea of, well, yeah, I go to church. I mean, I get it. I say it. But man, I'm not we got to understand that the purposes of the Lord is that we would share our lives together, that we would do life together, that we would know each other, that we would be in relationship, that we would be vulnerable, we'd be able to share life. And I'm just going to give you another little tip here, and then we'll jump into some perks of the depths of relationship, and we'll end out here. Is this last point is not becoming easily unsettled. At your place of work, or at your job or your school, don't become easily unsettled. You know what? Sometimes life is horrible. Sometimes terrible things happen. Sometimes people are really mean. Sometimes the really mean person comes into your life and they're not going anywhere. I mean, sometimes a really selfish person, they wind up moving in next door. I mean, they're like in your life. It's life. So what? Don't run away from that. Don't become easily unsettled when your boss changes. And the boss was a nice guy. He was awesome. You liked him. You got along. And now in comes Ogre Man. And Ogre Man takes over from a Mr. Smiles. And he's out. And Ogre Man's in. And Ogre Man is evil. He's an ogre. And so he's just ogreing around. And you're thinking about how much you dislike Ogre Man. And you're trying to figure out a way out of that job. Did the Lord tell you to quit that job? Then he likes Ogre Man in your life. He thinks you need Ogre Man. And we have this tendency to run away from the things that hurt. And the Lord says, oh no. I actually bring things that hurt into your life to mature you. Because you will never mature if you don't go through fire. And fire comes in many forms. We have this tendency to run away from that which is difficult. Difficult situations, difficult people, difficulty. And it's just not godly. It's just not godly to run away from difficulty. It's cowardice. Now, if the Lord tells you to move out of that job, out of that ministry, out of that city, out of that whatever, then great. But don't let that by any means, let us not be fooled. Let us not in any means think that that should be our default thought process. The default thought process is, oh good, the ogre has been sent to me to purify me. Oh, Jesus loves me. He loves me so much he wants me purified by the Ogre Man. He loves me because he loves you. Do not think it odd, brothers, when we suffer trials of many kinds. We should understand that trials have been sent for our good, whatever your circumstance. Okay, so let's touch on some perks now that we've gotten through Ogre Man. So some perks of setting our roots down deep. There are some perks, and they're pretty sweet. And I want to tell you that each one of these perks can't be realized in a short period of time. The depth of these perks can only be experienced with some season, with some tenure under your belt. So one of those is the richness of relationships increase. I've got some friends around here that I've known for 15 years or 13 years. The richness of those relationships. There's such trust. There's such strength. There's such joy. Like, I feel so confident and comfortable around them. Like, I just know they've got my back. I know that that whatever happens in their life, I'm going to love them and I'm going to be there for them. They're going to be there for me. It is the coolest thing to have the depths of tenured relationships. And while a new friendship is fun, it is not tested or tried. It does not have the measure of the richness of a tenured relationship. When you can start talking about friends that you've had for 5 and 10 and 15 years, whoo, it's sweet. I'll tell you what else happens with those tenured relationships. Once they get to a certain point, time can't touch them. They move, and you've been close for 10 years. They move, they're gone, they go do something else. When you get together, it's like giddy little schoolgirls coming together. They haven't seen each other for 3 years, and all of a sudden, boom, you're just right back in it because there's just such a trust and a tenured relationship. It is so, so sweet. But you know what? It takes time to establish those relationships. And it means you got to stay in the same place. I mean, to be able to build the relationship. I've got friends that, you know, I've met that are in other parts of the, you know, city or nation or whatever. And I love those friendships, but I don't have the depth of measure of those friendships, even though I may have known them for 10 years, as I've got with people that I've been running with for 10 years. It is so safe to have people in our lives that have known us for years and years and years. Oh, that's so good. It's so sweet. Next, community connections. You don't just walk into a new city and automatically connected at every depth of level. Over the course of time, though, you start to build relationships. I'll tell you what one of the coolest things is for me. It's just, it's fun for me. Having now, you know, been established in this area for a while, I know that if somebody's not super particular, we can get them a job. I just know that. Like, we've got enough connections in the city that I know if somebody needs a job, we can find them a job. What a cool thing to be able to do. What a cool thing to be able to know. Like, no doubt in my mind. Yeah, we got enough connections here in the city that because of the years and years of building relationships in the community and that kind of thing, we know if somebody needs a job and they're not super particular, we can get them a job. That is so cool. That is so helpful. You know? Next, ministry connections. It's so helpful to know people at the various ministries around the city. You know, to know people at this church and that church and in this spot and that spot, and to be able to have those connections and be able to talk about, you know, what's going on across the city. But those connections don't happen overnight. They take time. Relational connections. How enjoyable it is to be able to know after a season of time, if you go to the grocery store or out to eat, you're going to run into somebody you know and like. How much fun is that? It's just so cool. I can remember when that started happening. And I was like, oh, this is cool. It's only increased. Because you're in a place long enough, you just start to get to know everybody, and you make friends with the person at the checkout counter, you know, I mean, the person that rings you up the groceries, and you make friends with the barista, and you make friends with this, and you just start getting to know people in the community. It's just so cool, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes a season. Tenured relationships and the sweetness of those things. Just the connections across the city. Distractions are averted. You know, when you transition, I'm thinking about my friend Dwayne, who just moved to Brazil, and Dwayne is now in Brazil, and he's trying to establish a missions base down there, and he's doing it because God told him to, and that's a good spot to be. Don't move to Brazil unless God tells you to. Don't move anywhere unless God tells you to. He's in Brazil, and he has so many things he's distracted by right now. He's having to learn, you know, pieces of the culture, learn his way around the city, learn the new ministry environments, learn, you know, how the processes work, learn this, learn that, learn that. I was asking him about, you know, what he was thinking as far as, you know, he went down there to plant a house of prayer. That's like his agenda. I was asking him, okay, well, you know, what are you thinking? He said, yeah, we're thinking a year or two before we even start prayer meetings, like corporately. We'll do them at my house a little bit. Okay, what? He said, yeah, we think it's going to take us that long just to figure out what's going on. Oh my God. Gosh, oh my gosh, the pain of that, to feel called to go plant a house of prayer, and yet to not feel like you even can even get started in any sort of a public way for a year after you learn some things. Man, that's some distractions. I mean, that's some distractions. Then again, if the Lord's calling you into it, there's still distractions, but that's the Lord's plan. But if it's not, you just put yourself into a situation with a lot of distractions that are unnecessary. Next point. The power of routines established in our lives. There is something so powerful about having certain things. You know, again, certain times that you have where you study the Bible. Certain times when you worship. Certain times that you go grocery shopping. Certain times that you've got routines in your life. It makes you powerful. Because otherwise, you just kind of be bopping around and life happens as it happens. And it's not that you can't get anything done, it's just that you won't be near as effective. You just will not be near as effective until you've just got some life routines established. And some of those life routines, over the course of time, they get stronger and stronger and help you just get so much more clarity. Great example, going with the concept of a morning time alone with the Lord, okay? Where you just got some time committed to the Lord. You start that the first week, and maybe you're zealous to do it, but you know it's new to your schedule. After a month, you've kind of got it established, and you're kind of in a sweet spot. But after years, you don't even even have to think about what you're going to do tomorrow morning. I mean, there's no question. And after years, the grind of it is gone. You're in it. You're just doing it. You're plugging away. But every time that we would, you know, move out of a situation, you got to find your new comfy chair. You got to find your new little this, your new little that. Remember moving into the house that I'm in when we moved in, and I'm just trying to figure all that out. I can remember, actually, it was pretty funny. It would have been a good YouTube video. Watching me walk around my living room and just kind of sitting in this spot. No, I don't like the way the vent's blowing here. No, going over here. With my Bible open, I'm sitting here. Yeah, but this pillow. No. I just needed to find my groove. I needed to get kind of settled in. Finally figured out what I was going to do, and man, I was set. But it took some time. There's power in some routines that get established. The protection of deep relationships. Man, protection. There's a difference between friendships and friendships that offer you protection. I'll give you for instance. Those friendships that you develop where they look at you and they say, we will not let you fall. And you don't get those sort of depths of relationship week one. Those sort of relationships that say, we are committed to your success. Those sorts of relationships that are established that say, whatever happens to you in life, we're there for you. You know, the issue of us coming into the kingdom is that we all became brothers and sisters in Christ. But just because we're brothers and sisters in Christ doesn't mean we spend a lot of time with each other and we know each other real well and we understand all the inner workings and that we're really comfortable. Those relationships take time. And as those relationships come, there is a measure of protection. Here's another protection. The ones that really know you. You start to stumble. They love you so much they get in your face. Hey, this isn't going to work. And you wouldn't even hear that from somebody that you had a lesser relationship with. But this friend, they've walked through fire with you. They were there at your moment of need. They've been there with you. They've shown you a couple of times they're not going to let you fall. And now they're in your face and they go, this isn't going to work. It's a protection to you that you do not have unless you have those sorts of relationships. And those sorts of relationships take time to cultivate. And you want as many of those kinds of relationships as you can get. Last one, the tenure at work opens opportunities. So in your place of work, it's difficult to get promoted week one. It can happen, but it's certainly not the rule. It takes time. And not just that you could get promoted. That's not the end game. What if it was to get such favor in that business that your boss said this of you? I've known some even in this community that the Lord is, or that their bosses have said something like this. Hey, are there any more out there like you? Do you know anybody else that needs a job that is like you? Well, yeah, I actually do. They're hired. Hired. They have a job. Well, you don't even know their name. If they're like you and you'll vouch for them, hired. What a powerful thing that you don't get on day one. It takes time to build those relationships. Tenured experience in a work and in a field opens opportunities. Just in a field of expertise. Giving yourself to the same field of play for an extended season of time, you just more opportunities open up. There's such a tendency to get bored in work. I know that. I know it. But the opportunities open. More opportunities. And those opportunities can equal greater ability to minister in the workplace, increased finances, increased favor, ability to be able to get other people jobs. I mean, you can wind up like raising up on the blessing totem pole big time by setting yourself in a place and working and staying in that field or in that that job and working your way up. And again, if the Lord calls you to do something different, do something different. I just think so many of our defaults are to be at the mercy of our emotions and our circumstances. And the truth of the matter is, there are so many blessings that are tied to setting your roots down deep. Maybe some of you just made a transition in work, or a transition in you know, city, or a transition in ministry, or whatever. Ask the Lord if that would be a place that He'd have you set those roots down deep. And then if you don't hear Him say no, assume the answer is yes. just set those roots down, because that's where you are. Set the roots down where you are and let the Lord lead you. And again, if He leaves you and leads you to move on from that work or that whatever, you'll be okay. Those relationships that you actually invested in, you'll be okay. That the ministry that you were kind of starting up and that you were really putting your hand to the plow, if the Lord uproots you and takes you someplace else, you'll be okay. What you're not okay in is the angst of your own heart to live half-heartedly wherever you are. It just is a painful way to live. And again, Paul to the slave said, serve wholeheartedly. We just want to find ourselves giving all we got where we are. So whether it's your work, whether it's the place that you are, whether it's the roommates that you've got, whether it's the church you're in, whether it's the workplace that that you're serving in, give what you got. Serve wholeheartedly there, because more will open up for the kingdom of God. More will open up for you personally. More will open up relationally if you give yourself. And less will open up in all those avenues where you don't give yourself in those places. Why don't you guys stand? I'll pray for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.